Hi, it's Karen Webster, and welcome to The Matchmaker is In. Today, I'm happy to be joined by Michael DiBenedetto, the CEO and co-founder of Bootler. Michael, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It's a timely conversation because it is lunchtime for many, breakfast time for some, dinner time for others, and Bootler is an aggregator of data from food and alcohol delivery services that provides hungry consumers with their options for getting food delivered based on their requirements, what's important to them, whether it's the cost of the delivery service or the delivery time. So, Michael, we'll have to stave off our hunger for the next 30 minutes or so while we get into the details of your business. First question, you founded the company in 2016, and so what problem did you observe in the food and alcohol delivery service that you set out to solve?
Well, back when I founded it in 2016, I was part of another startup, and we were having one of those infamous startup pivot sessions. And it was late in the night, and we each wanted to order delivery, but we wanted a different restaurant to order from, and we had multiple tabs pulled up from the various third-party delivery sites going which service works with which restaurant, what's the delivery fee here, what's the delivery fee that. And, you know, it came to me, he goes, there's got to be something for this. I did some research. It ended up not existing. And from there, we ended up building what is today Bootler.
So you describe Bootler as sort of the kayak, if you will, of food delivery services. So it obviously means that in order for your platform to be successful, you need to have a lot of supply, that is delivery service companies that are attached to restaurants and other establishments in a geography, and consumers that are interested in taking advantage of the service. Let's start with the restaurant side of things. What did you do to get restaurants on board, and where did you start? Did you pick a particular geography and type of cuisine? How did you get off the ground?
So we started small before we expanded to multiple cities in Chicago, and we worked with several partners that were willing and able to see the benefits of a price comparison search engine in the online food ordering space. And then we aggregated them onto the site, and then we've expanded, you know, to different geographics. So it's really been about making sure that our third-party sites have a very qualified, eager customer who wants to order, as well as giving customers the transparency about which restaurants work with what service and what their delivery time and delivery fees are in real time.
So I noticed, I jumped on before our conversation just to take a peek at what's going on in Boston near where I work. It was interesting because the selection obviously can be tailored by what I might like to eat. And then the options that appear provide pricing based on what's the cheapest, if that's the selection I make, if the filter I want to run is I want the cheapest option or if I want the fastest option, and then you kind of signal best choice. How many partners do you need to have in a particular geography to launch the platform? You obviously have to have more than one, but what's the right mix for you?
So right now we have about 6 or 7 in our platform, and we're adding significantly more over the next 4 to 6 weeks. What we've identified, though, is that a lot of third-party services have crossover between the restaurants that they work with. So if you have the 3, 4, 5 services to begin with, that's a great starting point to give customers the opportunity to see which services work with what restaurants. And then on the flip side, a third-party delivery service is able to get a very eager and motivated customer who wants to order. Because if you think about it, someone that comes to our site, searches, then selects the restaurant they want, and then the service that goes with the given restaurant, when they check out on that end partner site, they are very inclined and motivated to make that purchase.
So let's talk about the process from the consumer's experience. So I come to find your site, and we'll talk about how you acquire customers in a minute. And like I did, there's a window, and it basically gives you the chance to talk about your city or zip code, and then you're presented with a bunch of options. You pick the option that you want, and then, like you described, you punch through to the site of the third-party delivery service, and then place your order. So that's a lot of steps for a consumer to take. Consumers are willing to do that?
Yes, from what we've seen, they are definitely willing to do that for multiple reasons. One, there usually can be significant variances in delivery times or delivery fees. So there's several companies that are doing surge pricing. So for the exact same amount of food, if one service has a $12 delivery fee and the other service has a $3 delivery fee, we're really saving them valuable money that can be spent in other areas of their life. Secondly, there's no requirement to sign up for our site, right? You're starting with your address, then you go onto the search page, you find the restaurant that you want and the service that goes with that restaurant, and then we bring you to the restaurant page of that given partner site. So it really is, you know, the same amount of steps from what you would do for a regular third-party delivery company, and we're just making it a little more valuable on the customer side because we're saving that time and money. And then on the flip side, we become a very valuable marketing tool for our third-party delivery partners because of the, you know, the steps in the process of comparing and seeing which one is the best deal for them, that when they get to that end site, they're very motivated and inclined to make that final purchase.
Let me ask you about how your partners feel about seeing that comparison presented so starkly. You know, but way back in the days of marketplaces in the 1980s, when B2B exchanges were the rage, and these big industrial companies selling pharmaceuticals and chemicals and other things between businesses, had this idea of using a marketplace to buy from. There was a lot of tension about the displaying prices, being transparent with pricing, which had the advantage for the buyer, but not so much the supplier. Have you gotten any feedback from partners who you can obviously see that if you waited 15 more minutes, you could get your food delivered for $4 cheaper?
So we would, you know, we absolutely want to add more and more services to the marketplace. We currently have, like I said, 6 or 7. There's 15 or so major ones in Chicago, and then if you see the regional ones, there's 50 to 60 in the different various parts of the country. And from the supplier side, the third-party delivery partner side, the reason they're comfortable and okay with being on our platform is how highly valuable our customer is. Someone that comes to our site, searches from a specific address, then selects a service accordingly to the restaurant that they want to, you know, eat from, that customer is very inclined on ordering at the end of the day. There's other avenues that, you know, you can market, whether that's on Google Display or Twitter or Instagram or all these other things, but they're not very engaged, motivated customers. Someone that comes to our site is a very qualified food delivery customer or pickup. And someone that we pass along to our partners, that customer is really going to order. So they see the value in that. Just similarly in the travel space with a Trivago or Kayak, they provide a very valuable service for their partners because of how highly motivated that customer user is to order food or book a hotel.
Yep. So from from the perspective of travel and then thinking about the lessons from travel and the lessons from the travel aggregators that you may have applied to Bootler. Is it really the value of being able to do the price comparison or the the ability to filter on what's most important, price perhaps secondarily to getting it faster because I'm really hungry.
So there's two main value propositions of Bootler. The first and foremost is discoverability and efficiency. Instead of having to have multiple tabs up and seeing which restaurant works with what service, we provide mm-hmm. that for you in a very slick, easy manner. That saves people time just in that essence. And then the second thing is, of course, being able to in real time see the differences between the delivery fees and or the delivery time estimates of each service that works with a given restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, let me ask you a question about getting these valuable consumers on board. How do you acquire customers?
We have a multi-tier approach. We've done offline strategies with billboards, direct mailers, advertising on our public transit in some of the major cities, as well as to digital campaigns. What we've identified is our marketing message really resonates with the customer. Being able to search, discover multiple delivery services in one spot, so you don't have to have multiple tabs open or multiple apps open, is really beneficial, along with in real time being able to save on delivery fees and save your time with the delivery time estimates.
Do you have a sense of how often your customers order delivery during the course of a week or a month? I was looking at some statistics in getting ready to have this conversation with you, and it's interesting. 10%. This is a survey that was done in 2016. 10% of those surveyed use food delivery services once a week. Is that pretty much what you're seeing, or are you seeing more frequency?
No, we're seeing pretty much the same thing. We're seeing a strong returning users because of the value propositions that we have. Mm-hmm. We have a belief in Bootler that, you know, people aren't going to have 2, 3, 4, 5 food delivery apps on their phone or branded restaurant apps on their phone. They're going to have their favorite restaurant app or their favorite third-party delivery service app, and then we're the next best thing. Similar in the travel space, if your credit card's attached to American Airlines, you'll have the American Airlines app on your phone, but then mm-hmm. secondly, you'll have the Kayak app on your phone because you don't want to have to download the United, the Southwest, the JetBlue, et cetera, apps just to see what flights are available and their prices.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because the real benefit accrues to the restaurant. So the delivery service is sort of the intermediary, but it's if I want to order from a particular restaurant, I can decide whether I want to pay more to get it faster or pay less to get it perhaps a little bit more of a wait time or pay less to get it at a time that's something in between. But the real winner is the restaurant. So in some ways, you're setting up competition for the delivery providers for the business of that consumer, but really on behalf of the restaurant.
We kind of view it as there's value to all parties involved. This is Bootler is really a win-win-win situation for everyone, right? The customer, the delivery service, as well as the restaurant. The customer gets to discover and see more restaurants that they might have otherwise not seen, as well as in that real time see the differences in delivery fees and time estimates. The delivery service gets a very valuable customer that would place the order through them, and then the restaurant gets to accept that order and make the money from someone ordering with one of their delivery partners. So it's really valuable all the way around.
How do you keep the consumer sticky? So let's say, you know, I've now discovered Bootler and I've experienced it a couple of times at a couple of restaurants, but I kind of have settled on my favorite, and because I like their supply, and I've kind of settled on my favorite delivery service provider because they're reliable and they're within my budget, what I'm willing to spend. How do you keep that customer from sticking with Bootler versus just going directly to that third party site and doing all of their ordering?
So First, we definitely expect people to have a favorite delivery service. It's very much like my example with travel and people having that American Airlines credit card. We're going to go there first. But we've always known that people will come back to us to check to see what the delivery fee is, what the delivery time estimate. Maybe there's another restaurant that they knew delivered from another service, and that's why we're sticky to a customer, is the fact that there is surge pricing now because of all the variables with
right.
delivery drivers and needing to, you know, make money on each delivery order, and this affects the customer in some in a big regard. So by having them come to our site and being able to see those price differences, delivery time estimates in real time, allow them to be a sticky customer. Now, if they like a particular service and they like a particular restaurant that they want to continually order from, that was always expected, and we had that built in while we were building out the Bootler site.
How do you guys make money? I know this is free to the consumer, but what is your business model and who pays you?
So we have various agreements with the third-party food delivery sites that we work with, very similar in the way that Trivago and Kayak have their model set up.
So specifically, that means what? You're paid a booking fee by the delivery service, or?
What'd you say? I'm sorry.
You're paid a booking fee by the a booking fee in essence by the delivery service.
It ranges between that. It could be a low monthly fee. It could be a percentage of the order. It really varies based on the conversations and agreements that we have with a given third-party food delivery site.
Got it. You're in how many markets now? About 20. Is that what I understand?
We're in 44 major metropolitan markets. If you include the surrounding cities, in those major metros, we're probably in 500-600 cities. And we have the infrastructure to enter a new market within a one-day span. And that's primarily because of the infrastructure and technology that we have built out on our side, and also on the fact that we don't need boots on the ground in every city that we enter. We're not like these third-party food delivery sites that are more and more entering into the logistics world, and
right.
we're just purely a marketing and a technology company.
So basically, if it, you know, Postmates is a partner, you can go into any city where Postmates also serves that particular geography, and other aggregators may also have a third-party delivery services may have a presence, and you're kind of open for business. Is that pretty much the formula?
Exactly. It's working with our partners to make sure we're entering the new markets as best for everyone involved.
And how do you then, because getting the supply side is only one piece of your platform, obviously. You must have to plan on driving demand to those third-party delivery services. So how do you go into these markets and get consumers excited? What are some of your launch strategies?
So it's the standard offline online strategies of, you know, public transit, flyers in the mail, sometimes billboards, sometimes people handing out cards, as well as digital. But the main thing that we've seen is that when we advertise, we really have a unique marketing message for the customer. You're able
mm-hmm.
to discover new restaurants, be more efficient, along with in real time, saving that delivery fee and delivery time estimate, which really is a value to consumers across the country. And they really resonate with that, because when an order is $12 but another service has it for $4, they really want to know that, you know, they could order that same bowl of pasta for $4, and with that extra $8, maybe they could do something else. They can go see a movie. They can go, you know, buy their son or daughter a toy. So it really allows us to have a strong value proposition as we enter new markets.
Yeah, no, I was surprised to see the disparity in the delivery, you know, in the delivery fees. It was it's a little bit eye opening. I mean, I take your point that if you're just going to a delivery site, you only get the perspective of that of that one. It really can be quite different. What kinds of things are people ordering? Are they ordering more lunch, more dinner? Does it vary by city? Give me a sense of what the behavior of your typical user is.
So we definitely see more ordering done at dinner through the demographic of 18 to 24. More of our orders are done through the working professional of that 27 to 35 year old during lunch. And that's what we've seen is that working professionals in the city want to save time, want to save money. They're working in a big metropolitan. They might not have time to go out for lunch. And then college kids, more in particular, want to be able to save time, money. Maybe, you know, they're studying for an exam. So that's what we've kind of seen.
And they don't want to cook. That's sort of the other point.
Exactly.
Why cook when you can have someone bring you food? Just like mom used to do when you were living at home.
So I take
the point. What are some of the lessons that you've learned in getting the business off the ground? What would you advise other entrepreneurs who are launching these marketplaces, which is really what you you have here? What's been the hardest part?
There's always highs and lows in any startup. And you think you're rock bottom when you face a low, and you think you're on the highest of highs, something's great happened to the business. But as long as you keep an even keel and expect that both positive and negatives will happen to a business, you really understand that it's going to take some time to build a business. Nothing's built overnight. It's, you know, just grinding it out day in and day out. It's a process. Have people around you that you trust, that believe in you, that give you encouragement when you need it, and criticism when you need that as well. And that's, you know, kind of the formula for a day-in and day-out strategy.
Yeah, no, these businesses are the hardest businesses to start and scale for all the reasons that you obviously well know, having founded and developed and obviously are in the process of scaling. What's been the best advice you've gotten and from whom?
Very fortunate to have my dad be a great advisor to me. He started his own business that was very successful, and he always said, just be patient. It takes time. Don't expect things to happen overnight, and right. Eventually, if you put your nose to the grindstone, it will work out.
Yeah, no, it's true. Patience is hard, particularly when you're trying to do something on such a grand scale. But these are hairy businesses, and you know, at some point you develop the barrier to entry when your platform has the critical mass of consumers in this case, and restaurants and delivery partners. Do you feel you've gotten scale, or when will you feel comfortable that you've gotten to a point where you've created barriers to entry and can say to your dad and your co-founders that we've done it?
It's hard for me to say we've done it because I'm continually trying to build this. I never look at the end goal. I always look at what's tomorrow. I think one of the main things that I think of is I want to get more third-party delivery services on the platform, as well as restaurants that do their own online food ordering themselves through their own website on the platform, to give the customers more choice, availability, as well as help our partners get that valuable customer. So once we continue to grow, scale, and have more suppliers on the platform, that would be a good point. But truthfully, I haven't been able to look at the end of the road, because I'm always focused on the next day.
So I don't know whether you've read the latest on DoorDash, and that they're creating this commissary for entrepreneurial chefs who don't want to open a restaurant for the obvious reason. It's very expensive, but they can rent kitchen space and make pizza or cupcakes or whatever at scale for delivery. I think that's a pretty interesting interesting idea. What are some of the trends that you're seeing in this space, given your close alignment with these third-party delivery sites and the restaurants that that they serve?
I think that's probably one of the biggest trends right now, in particular because there's this huge supply of drivers that all of these companies have, and in order to help chefs get more orders out the door and they can deliver them through their drivers, that helps the economics for all these companies. So that's one of the biggest trends is trying to keep the economics down and keep it very profitable and enter new cities.
Yeah, it's interesting. Is anyone in your family in the food services business? It's a hard business to run.
I do not have any direct family in the food restaurant space. I do have family friends that own restaurants, and they've been at it for 15, 20 years, and you could definitely see it's a grind, and they've been fortunate enough to open 5, 10, 15 restaurants themselves in their respective cuisine types, I guess you can say, whether that's Italian or steak or seafood.
Where do you see the space? You know, obviously, I know you're focused on putting one foot in front of the other day to day, but you obviously need to be thinking about where this is all going as part of your longer term plan to raise capital or expand. Where do you see this going? Fast forward a couple of years from now, what will be different? What will be the same?
So I think delivery prices will continue to vary as time continues to go on because of the cost of delivery drivers and how things have gotten more expensive, which again is a value to customers. But our ultimate goal when I initially pitched this to some investors was it's an on-demand price comparison search engine that starts with online food ordering. And then you can expand because we have the technology that's built out to expand to groceries, to expand to meal kit as an example. So it really is all encompassing that it can help customers in many different verticals save time and money, as well as discover new options.
Well, and create a little bit more competition for those who are providing the service between the restaurant or grocery store and the consumer. So I think putting a little price pressure on these providers is probably a pretty good thing.
Yeah, I definitely think there's, as we expand in more verticals, there's definitely going to be a value for the customer, the third-party delivery service, the restaurant, and when we expand to grocery, it would again be the customer, the delivery service, and the grocery store in that example.
Well, Michael, it's been fascinating to talk to you. Before we leave, obviously you were inspired by looking at travel platforms, travel aggregators in starting Bootler. But are there any other platform businesses that you admire and think have gotten the balance right between the two sides of the platform and therefore you've taken some lessons from them and applied it to your own business?
Absolutely. I look at SeatGeek in the event ticket space. They've really done a nice job of building out the suppliers, taking time, maybe working directly with venues and concert halls themselves in order to bring the supply to the customer. And they've done it very meticulously, and they've been thorough, and they've taken it each day at a time. So besides travel, I really do look at the event ticket space, in particular SeatGeek, and the model that they've built out over their several years of existence.
Interesting, because like the ticket business and the travel business, it's the supply is very focused on that particular lunch day. You know, it's the clock starts to zero the next day. Events are held on a particular day. Tickets are either available or they're not. So there's a particular dimension to the business that has a perishable quality about it that makes it also interesting and therefore challenging to manage.
Exactly. I always say that Bootler isn't reinventing a business model, isn't reinventing an idea. We're just applying it to the online food ordering space.
Yep, Well, Michael, thanks again for your time today. It was great to get to know you and the business, and continued good luck to you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you taking the time with me as well.
Thank you, and have a great day, everyone. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye now.